Lucille, Louis had a wonderful way with kids. How do you feel about kids?
Well, unfortunately, Louis never had children by any of his wives. But he was a lover of children. He felt they were the hope in the future of the world. The coming generation. And needed guidance. He got along beautifully with children. He never talked down to them, talked to children as though they were adults, you know. And whatever he'd say to them, like, you know, if he's giving them a little talk or something, he'd say, "You understand? You understand what I'm talking about?" You know. And kids in turn loved him. You know, especially, well, because I saw more of it on this particular block that we live on, because it was loaded with youngsters. And we moved in, and those youngsters had grown and married, and they had children, and they'd bring their children by to see Uncle Louie. That's what they'd call him. But those that didn't call him Satchmo or Pops called him Uncle Louie. Those that were close to him called him Uncle Louie. But when we were traveling by bus, depending on which direction we were going, north or south. If we were going north, the boys would meet the bus in front of the Hudson Hotel, you know, on 57th Street. And then they'd stop by here to load Louis up, you know. And that bus would stop, and kids would be grabbing his things and helping to put him on the bus. And in turn, when we came back home, after a tour by bus, we'd stop by the house, and I think every kid would fight to, you know, each other, "I'm taking this, I'm taking that. Pops, can I carry this into the house for you?" You know, they always wanted to do things. Like Louis would go to his barber shop was on a block and a half from here on Northern Boulevard. And in the summer, Louis would walk to the barber shop, and he was like the Pied Piper. Kids would be following the whole time he was going, and stay and wait at the barber shop, walk back with him, he'd stop off and get them ice cream or something. And you'd find him just any lovely day sitting on stoop with kids surrounding him, talking. Sometimes he'd take his horn out there and blow for them.
Really?
Yeah, they love that. And on his birthday, which was the 4th of July, and if Louis were home, we would always have a barbecue celebration, have Louis' friends in. And, of course, naturally, I'd have a birthday cake made for him, because I'm not a cake maker. And other people would send cakes. I know Joe Bushkin sent him a couple of cakes from time to time.
I remember we had a
picture. Yeah, one made up like a telegram with it. We would invite the kids in after we would finish our partying and everything for ice cream and cake into the gardens, you know. And they just loved that, to be hanging around waiting. Yeah. Another time I remember, there was a Louis liked Chinese food. And we had a little place, lovely place, that on 37th Avenue in Junction Boulevard called the Dragon Seed. Louis and I would go in there and eat. Unfortunately, Charlie Bow just recently sold the place, I think about 2 or 3 months ago. Charlie Bow had a collection of tapes that he would play. This was his hobby, and he would play some music. He had everybody. And of course, he had Louis. Whenever we came in there, those tapes would be going. And one time, some kids saw us. Now, this is out of our neighborhood, more or less. It's just a little out in Jackson Heights. Saw Louis come in, and they made a beeline in there to get autographs. I mean, kids like 8, 9, 10, 7. And so I told them, I said, "Well, you know, we've just started our food, and I know you love Pop so much." I said, "But you don't mind if we finish our meal?" And as soon as we finish our meal, we'll autograph everybody. Well, they went out again, but very lovely. They went out, but then they spread the word around.
Oh.
And by the time we finished eating, and I told Charlie, I said, they lined up outside, and I told Charlie Bo, I said, Charlie, I said, I guess you better let the children in now because we're finished and we're wanting to go back home. I think Louis sat there for 2 hours. They had gathered everybody. I swear to God, it had to be from Jackson Heights to Long Island City. Nothing but children. And some with the youngsters with their parents. And they came in very orderly with their little pieces of paper, got the autograph, and left. And every time I passed that neighborhood, even after Louis passed, they'd see me. Hello, Mrs. A. Good, glad to see you, you know, and if I have any packages, it's also a shopping neighborhood, and if I had any packages from the grocery store, I had no problem. Somebody would want to carry them to the car for me. But he had a great rapport with the youth.
I'll ask you something else. How did he feel about juvenile delinquency? Did that upset him when he read about it and so forth? Because the kids certainly changed over a period of time.
They had changed, but I don't know what his thoughts were about that so much, because you have to realize that there was delinquency from the time Louis was a child. Of course, you have crime, more crime.
Yeah.
Which no, is a different
yes.
from delinquency.
Yeah.
You know, because there wasn't the type of things with the muggings and the killings and the ripping off of elderly people that's happening today. That didn't happen in Louis's youth or mine. And I'm a great deal younger than Louis. But the crime element, he didn't talk too much about that. We discussed mostly, Louis had many thoughts and great positive thoughts about many, many, many things. But there were many things that he wouldn't talk about.
Like what?
Like the delinquency and a lot of things. I mean, if he didn't talk about it, how am I going to tell you what it was that he
right.
couldn't talk
yeah.
about, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Were there unpleasant things that he didn't like? In other words, to Louis, I guess, Louis saw so much good in the world, didn't he?
He saw so much good in the world, and he saw so much bad in the world.
But he didn't like to talk about the bad as much as the good.
No,
uh-huh.
no. He kept, those are the things I think he brooded about, you know, a lot of times on radio. And on television, maybe we would see these crimes of passion. And of course, 7 years, it's 8 years now. Even 8 years ago, there wasn't as much ripping off of the elderly as there is today. You know, it's gotten worse since Louis passed on. I'm sure that he would have had very much to say about that. Of course, Louis's big deal was during the Martin Luther King, even before Martin Luther King days, and the desegregation and the way they were treating the children, because you know Louis spoke out about what happened in Little Rock.
Yeah.
You know, and of course he got himself into bad trouble.
What happened exactly then?
What happened? You know what happened in Little Rock.
Yeah, but I'd like to get it directly from you.
Well, these children were being entered into school, and these were first grade kindergarten children, very young. Louis was in Canada at the time. I wasn't on the tour with him. And they attacked, the whites attacked these very young children, and some of them got badly hurt. And one of the reporters, newspaper reporters in Canada, it was, I think he was up in Windsor, up in, right out of, you know, north of Little Rock. And he blasted off about it. And naturally they printed it. And he told him, so you can print it verbatim. I said it, and anybody don't like it, tell them to see me. And of course received many phone calls very early in the morning before I had awakened. So I hadn't heard about it. Asking me about Louis' statement. So I said, what statement? He said, well, haven't you heard the radio? I said, well, I'm not up yet. And well, of course, naturally, I put the radio on. They told me, and I put the radio on, and I heard it. It was just on the news like mad, you know. And, of course, I know, you know, he told it, why hurt the children? You know, and then, of course, he blasted Farber, and he also blasted Eisenhower.
That's right, I know.
You know. Yeah. And, of course, this, I mean, and we were to go to Russia. And Louis said he wasn't going anywhere for the State Department on a goodwill tour until we straightened things out here.
And what happened?
What happened? well, all hell broke loose. And, of course...
Did you hear from Eisenhower? Did you hear from
Not directly, but he sent Eisenhower a wire telling them if he brought the troops in, he would be right up front with him with the troops. Because Eisenhower wasn't going to send the troops in. But Eisenhower did send the troops in. But Louis was, he never told, you know, Louis, but anyway, they sent the troops in. But Louis told him to send the troops in and stop that mess. But of course, all of our would-be know-it-alls here in New York had all blasted Louis for his statement.
They did, really?
Oh, yes. Yes, they did.
I mean, the black people here?
Yes. And the white. I mean, Dorothy Kilgallen blasted Louis so bad that Joe Glaser made her retract her statement in the newspaper.
Well,
and she did.
She was so bad anyway.
She did. Yeah. She retracted it, but then one or two of our... I mean, these people are... Some of them are still alive and some are dead today. There is no use bringing up names. Those that know about the incident, have heard the statements of these people, know who I'm talking about. Toll said that he came out on the radio, on television, and said that Louis Armstrong was an uneducated man and he should stay out of politics.
And yet Louis, on the other hand, used to be zapped by people who said he wasn't active enough.
Well, yes, uh-huh. But the point about it is, so when he does come up with a statement, it isn't, maybe one of those who had come up with it, but maybe everybody would have been happy. But Louis makes sure, he's a man that doesn't, he never got into anything. He did his little bit his way. And Louis always said he wasn't marching anywhere because his lip was his living.
Yeah.
Nobody was going to throw a brick or beat him over the head.
But once the kids got involved, he really got his dander.
Yes, you yeah. see. But, of course, this was even before the marching and everything else, you know. But the point of it is, Louis says, they need money for whatever they're doing. Somebody's got to give them money. We used to send them checks. You know. So he said... There are those that do the marching and those that have put their, you know, because Louis, everybody knows Louis was very generous with his money.
Yeah, that's what I want to discuss also.
Very generous.
Tell me
generous
about,
to a fault.
Tell me more about that, because I've heard all sorts of stories about, well, I know that I've read too that, you know, he was being taken until you came in and sort of put your foot down a little bit.
Well, now you see, I can't talk about that. I can only talk about the days that happened with me.
Yeah. But you must have changed after he married you, didn't he? I mean, probably less of a patsy.
Not immediately. I mean, uh-huh. Nobody changes immediately.
Yeah.
You know, we had our little discussions and our little hit and run things about this money bit. I am not against helping someone who needs help. But when you need an automobile, and Louis comes up with the cold cash for automobiles, you know, and buying houses.
Who did he do that for?
I'm not a name caller, let's face it. You don't.
Well, I know, but did he do it for friends, for close friends, or what?
He did it to friends, the people he thought were his friends. But I could see that they were just using Louis.
Well, Louis loved to be liked, didn't he?
It wasn't the matter. He didn't do it to be liked. Louis came up in a time, in the old days, back in, when he was a youth, where those that had would share with those that didn't have. This was his upbringing. You know, Louis came up in the time with, you know, in very, very, very poor circumstances. And of course, in Louisiana at that time, down through the South, not only Louisiana, Mississippi, and a few other places. And in Louis' youth, when he was 10, 12, 13 years of age, they had a drought called, the boll weevils had eaten up everything, and things were very, very, very bad. Even, you know, poor people in those days didn't have any problem eating, because who had? You get one potato and make a whole pot of potato soup and feed a family of six or seven. They knew how to make it do. But those that had, especially the musicians and the pimps, you know, like you do something for them, or if they saw you needed something, they'd give you $2 or $3 or $1.50 or 50 cents made a great difference in those days, because you could do anything. You get 5 pounds of potatoes for 5 cents, loaf of bread for a penny. So if somebody gave you 50 cents, you were rich. So Louis came up with this is part of his upbringing, helping those that needed. But I also know that there were loads of those that didn't need that much my days.
They wanted rather.
Because they knew Louis was a hander out. I remember one time after Louis and I were together and married, and we had been on the road, we used to come in and put our bags down and head for Harlem. See the gang, you know, the various bars that they would hang out in, especially theatrical people, you know. And Louis would be in this bar, and I'd be on one end talking to one group of people, who would be on the other end talking to another group, you know, his group and everything. And then somebody would say, "Pops, you know, man, I ain't been working in a long time." Well, Louis had him $20, $30, $40, you know. And this cat goes out in the street and said, "Man, Louis in there, he's handing out money. Go get yours, I got mine." You know, and I could hear this. He don't hear it, I hear it. And it used to burn me up. You know, so finally, I would tell him, but I couldn't tell him. I found one learns through one's mistakes. And I thought, well, I tell him that these people are, you know, taking it. He didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to hear it. Then after several years, he started getting a little wiser. He could, you know, see what was happening. So if you ask him for 20, you'll got 5. You start cutting down on him, you know. I think when Louis got sick in 19, he had phlebitis, and he was in Beth Israel Hospital, and that's when he decided he was going to get religion. He said, "Lucille, I'm taking the Bible. I found out that all the friends I've got are you." So he starts saving his money. He didn't have, you see, Louis didn't give anything away. He didn't give his money away as people thought he gave. He gave only what he had in his pocket, his allowance. We lived on an allowance. We budgeted ourselves.
From Joe Glazer? Did Joe send the money each week? Or
Louis had a salary. You know, we were on a salary. I mean, anybody that's in a business, you take so much for your salary. So much goes here, so much goes there, so much goes in for your various expenses. All right, your income tax money, bank account and everything, but you got money in your pocket. You need money to live on. Louis didn't need, I bought the food. He gave me my household money and everything, money to clothe myself and do what I want. Then he had his own pocket money.
Was he very generous with the household money and your money?
Very. Louis was a very generous man, period. He couldn't be any less generous to me than he was to his friends. Let's face it. you know. But the point of it is, what he gave away was out of his spending money. Louis had no money. He didn't have to spend any money. He had that. His next week's salary would come in. He'd still have that and what's coming if he just wanted to keep it. He had nothing to do. I bought his clothes, bought his shoes, bought everything, bought the food, paid all the bills. And if he got short and he borrowed from me, why, he would pay it back.
What about
with interest?
But you saw say something about religion.
No, he told me, he said, I got religion. I'm taking the Bible. I'm going to save my pocket money. And so he said, I want a bank account. So we have a bank account. Lucille and Louis Armstrong. You have a bank account, Lucille Armstrong. I want a bank account, Louis Armstrong, nobody else's name on it. And so I said, oh, all right. I'll get the application, everything else. I brought it home, he signed it and everything else. I'm going to open up this account for him. He gave me $1,000 to open up this account, bank account. Every month, Louis would give me $5,000 that he had saved out of his pocket money to put in his account. So that by the time, like 1969, 1968, 1970, he started looking at that account, it was pretty big. He said, just think, if I had pissed up my money like I had all these years, giving it away, look at all the money I would have had now. Because he had over $50,000 that he had saved just in those few years.
What did he put in a week, you know?
It was none of my business.
Yeah, no.
No. I think everybody has their own life to live. Louis and I had our togetherness, and we also had our separateness. I didn't ask him what he did with his money. It was his to do with it he wanted. He wanted to go to the bathroom and wipe his behind with it. It was his. And it was none of my business what he did with it.
I know, you once told me, somebody, I know it was you or somebody once told me that Louis could spot a phony in a minute.
Well, I don't know whether I told you that or not, but a lot of people knew that, you know. I mean, he'd do phony when he saw one.
Do you know how we could tell?
How can one tell
just,
how?
Just intuitive?
One has intuitiveness, instinct. Don't you know a phony when you see one? In his company, in a few minutes?
Yeah, but I've had people pull the wool over my eyes.
Sure. Well, we've all had them pull the wool over. There are people, and Louis was one of them. Sometimes
I like to believe the good in most people. He did too.
But the point about it is, if he liked you, and sometimes he'd know that you were taking him, but he'd just go ahead because he liked you that much.
Yeah, it was fun, by the way.
Yeah. Until he got tired of it. But if he ever got tired of it and let his self go, you know, Louis had the mouth and the vocabulary of the devil himself.
Did he really?
And when he let go, he didn't have to touch you. You were surely verbally whipped down to the ground.
What would cause that? Would it just one incident, or would it be a culmination of incidents with him? Was it a series of incidents? Could just a guy say one thing to him that would set him off and he really get...
Well, that all depends, just like you. Mm-hmm. It all depends on, you know, on me. Somebody can say something to me, and it all depends on how I feel. I just let it go over my head. I've heard it, but I just let it go. It's just not my day to let you have it, you know. But then there may be another day you say that same thing to me, and I just blow my top.
Yeah, I'd like to get into something. We started off talking about Louis and children. Tell me about Louis and older folks, especially his mother and older people. How do you treat them?
Louis treated everybody beautifully. Uh-huh. You know, he had a great respect for the aged as well as he had for the very young, you know. And Louis's grandmother lived to be, I'm sure, at least 100.
And did he keep in touch with her?
Oh, yes. Whenever we were in New Orleans, he would have her to come to the concerts when, you know, and she was up and able.
What was her, what did he call her? What was her name?
He called her grandma. I don't know what her name was now.
Is that his mother's mother, was it?
No, his father's mother. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He never knew his father very well, did he? Didn't his father leave when he was very young?
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah. Willie Armstrong.
But he was terribly close to his mother, wasn't he?
Very, yeah.
You knew his mother, didn't you?
No, his mother died in 1927 or 26.
Was it that early? Oh, I didn't know
yeah.
that.
She died in Chicago on a visit to Louis.
Was it?
And she's buried in Chicago somewhere.
Was it? Then there was his aunt that he was very close to, wasn't it? It was somebody.
His aunt?
Was it aunt? I know he was close to his sister, you told me.
Yeah.
Was it aunt? Did he have an aunt he was close to?
I don't know about an aunt. Mm-hmm. I know his sister and his grandmother.
Oh, his grandmother outlived his mother?
His grandmother just his father's mother. I don't know if he ever knew his mother's mother. Mm-hmm. I never heard him speak of her. His father's mother, who was his grandmother, lived through all the wives. I even met her.
Really?
And I was his last wife. I didn't meet her until in the 40s. She was very much alive. I don't know what year she passed, but she passed in perhaps the early 50s.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to start talking. We're at the end of the tape now, but I want you, if you will, talk to me about Louis' courtship with you. Because I think that'll be very interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
let's just turn this tape over because we're just about at the end of it. And I'd hate to interrupt something as beautiful as that with
this. Oh, really? You yeah. think the people want to know about my Louis' courtship with me, because it was really something.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Let me hear about it first.